I don't know what kind of introduction or information the pastor's given on me, but you'll soon find out that I'm a Bible preacher. I preach as much of the Bible in the amount of time as I think I can risk taking from you of your time. I like to get through preaching about the same time you get through listening. That's a good arrangement. Tonight I'd like to speak directly to missions on a heavy Bible subject, the justification of Jonah. The justification of Jonah, the world's all-time greatest missionary. The world's greatest missionary, Old Testament or New, the justification of Jonah. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Bless it to our hearts. Anoint the word and anoint each heart to receive it. We know that our words are vain and all of the attempts of man are vain, except you minister. You said, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Lest the watchman, Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. I know nothing about the mission giving of this church or the stewardship of this church. Lord, I've made my remarks without any knowledge about the colloquial situation, and have based them strictly and solely upon your word. I pray that you will double your blessing upon this church every way, in spirituality, in attendance, in vision, in fervency of spirit, in missionary outreach and missionary vision. And Lord, minister now to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm a collector of books, have an extensive library, numbering approximately 25,000 volumes. That's a large library for minister. And in my browsing for books some time ago, I got a Jewish book, Hardcore Judaism. And in this book, there was a little passage on Jonah. Jonah, one of the greatest of Jewish prophets. That took me back a little bit. There are a few men that really take a beating from the pulpits of the land and from Christians. People always pick on Thomas, but it's amazing they always pick on Peter too, if you notice. Peter takes a lot of criticism, though he was the apostle of Pentecost. But probably of the Old Testament men of God, no one takes more abuse than Jonah. Of all that is said about Jonah, what we usually hear is about him leaving Joppa. And what we hear is basically that part that is found only in the opening of the book. Until we wonder sometimes if people finish the book. When I heard this exaltation of Jonah from the Jewish mind, I immediately turned to the book of Jonah and reread it, as though I was reading it for the first time. And tonight I speak on the justification of Jonah, the world's greatest missionary. Pray that from it you will get some insight into the importance of going some way to reach the lost, of sending or being sent. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up to me. Now first I rise to the justification of Jonah because he was a man of God. He was a prophet. One of the books in the Bible carry his name. He was a prophet in his day. That was, in his day, the leading prophet in Israel. Born at Gath Hepher, just out of the city of Nazareth. And in 2 Kings 10:32 and 2 Kings 14:25-28, we read about him. He prophesied victory clear up in northern Syria at the gates of Hamath, where the Orontes River goes out to the sea, up in the area of Antioch. And when it looked like the armies of Israel would be defeated, there was no way out, Jonah prophesied that the God would deliver them, and God brought his prophecy to pass, and in his day he was an established prophet. If you please, the Billy Graham of his day. So when God spoke to him, he was not some Johnny-come-lately on the prophetic scene. He was already their national spokesman. Dan Betzer, if you please. C.M. Ward, if you please. Jimmy Swaggart, if you please. Do you follow me? Now, the Bible says, touch not the Lord's anointed and do my servants no harm. And we need to be careful when we pick too much on men of God, whether they are our present or past. One thing will defeat you, and that is if you get a critical attitude towards ministers and ministry, even those that aren't quite so good. You don't have to agree with them all, but you should show some respect. Many, many churches have been either totally destroyed or hamstrung for years because they got a critical and judgmental attitude towards the ministry. I graduated from high school. My parents were Christians, and never once did I hear them criticize a man of God, a pastor, a preacher of any kind. Now, they had deep religious convictions, but I was even taught to respect ministers of other churches. I was not allowed to criticize even the liberal and modernist preachers. Now, later in life, I realized that my parents had very strong convictions. They weren't always in agreement with the pastor, but I wouldn't know it. And I was a little cynical. I've often thought I might have been in hell by now had it not been for the grand example my parents showed me. When I went away to Bible school, I almost shuddered and trembled of the way some people tore down Bible school professors and pastors. They criticized everybody that was doing anything for God. Did you know that it's possible to open the gate through criticism and actually pick up a demon of criticism? And we have had churches that have been destroyed because somebody that had a spiritual appearance and yet they had a demon of criticism tore down everybody in the church that was doing anything for God. I write to the justification of Jonah because he was a prophet, a man of God. Now God said to him, verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa. I write to the justification of Jonah because he ran from an assignment that I also would run from. Nineveh was the world capital. It was the capital of the great Assyrian Empire. If you know history, there was Egypt and the Egyptian Empire. Then the second was the Assyrian, and their capital was Nineveh, upstream from Babylon, on the Tigris River. It was an extremely large city. Their language was the Aramaic language. That was the strongly trade language of the world, even up past the days of Jesus. Now, the Bible tells how long it took to travel across Nineveh, not because of the distance, but probably because of the clogged traffic and the population explosion. In the center of the city, they had a ziggurat. And on the top of the ziggurat, they had their altar. Their usual treatment was for foreign missionaries to take them up to the top of the ziggurat, strip them naked, tie them, and baptize them in ants, and pour ants over them until there was nothing left but bone. It has been conjectured that there's any more way are possibly as gruesome and painful a way to die as on a cross, it would be by the ants of the ziggurat. Being leading prophet number one and an erudite man for those days,